It's a beautiful day to say what you need to say. It's a beautiful day to say what you need to say, yeah. And I can lead the way, yeah. Oh. Hey there, welcome to Time Out with Ty, the less official podcast behind the Buck Pass. We're back this week. We got a lot of stuff going on. The draft is upcoming in about, I think it's almost exactly a month from when we're recording, but I could have just made that up. The playoffs are going on. One of those things involves the Bucks, one doesn't. But we'll cover the Bucks and a lot more, as usual. This week with me, my great guest, to talk about the draft, mostly the top half, because his team holds the number one overall pick, is Josh Wilson of SixerSense.com. Welcome, Josh.
Thanks for having me. Last time I was on here, I feel like the podcast has gotten too big for me.
Apparently not, because you're here.
It's like, last time I was on, like, it was kind of small. Like, you were just getting started, I feel like. Yeah. But it's been really cool to see all of the guests that you've had on here. And now I feel like I'm standing on the shoulders of giants.
Well, you can see farther now, so we'll appreciate your input. Thanks for saying that, though.
No problem.
The Philadelphia 76ers, who you cover, obviously, at SixerSense.com very well, I might add, have the first overall pick in the upcoming 2016 NBA draft. This is a big deal because the Sixers haven't had the first pick since a while ago.
96.
96. And that was, who was that? Who'd they take?
Iverson.
That was Iverson? Okay. I felt like he went number one overall, but for some reason I wasn't positive. So it's been quite a while. Obviously, that one worked out. My first question is sort of a dual question. Who do you think they take? Who should they take? Is it the same person or not?
I think they take Ben Simmons. I think no matter who got the top overall pick this year, it's kind of just like one of those. I mean, you look at Simmons and, yeah, he doesn't have a jump shot. That's his biggest thing. And that's what everybody says is he needs a jumper. But everything else about his game is just so like pro-ready. He's an elite rebounder. He can get to the hoop and score. He just can't do it with a jump shot. He can score, he's a rebounder, and he can facilitate the offense, and he can kind of act as a point guard besides that whole shooting thing. So I think that's who they're going to take. Now, who should they take? Some could argue Brandon Ingram because he's just more ready to go as far as fitting into the Sixers offense. But that's the thing with the draft is, do you draft for fit or do you draft best available? Best available is Ben Simmons. If you're drafting for fit, it's probably Brandon Ingram. But I've gone back and forth. Right now I'm thinking Simmons. The thing with these two players, Simmons and Ingram, is they both have two big deficiencies. Simmons, his jump shot, which I already mentioned, and Brandon Ingram is very, very slim. He needs to bulk up a lot this summer. That's the biggest thing. So I think for the Sixers, they're going to have to decide which of those deficiencies is worth more and which of those matters more to us and draft based on that. That's what I think they should do anyway.
I think you're right in that they're going to take Simmons. Here's my thing on Simmons v. Ingram, and I've talked about this before. I've done a mock draft. I did have Simmons going first. I think Simmons has the higher ceiling, but that Ingram has the higher floor. Like, I think there is a chance that Simmons does not pan out that well in the NBA. I don't think it's, you know, an 80% chance. I don't think it's a very big chance. I think at minimum he's probably going to be a very good player. But I think there's a chance he doesn't work out if his skills just never come together. He can't shoot at all. The size of the NBA gives him more problems. But best case scenario, you're looking at a taller, less physical LeBron James. I don't know if he passes as well as LeBron. LeBron's a generational talent, of course. But Ben Simmons, the way he runs the floor at his size and the way he sees the whole court is phenomenal. Brandon Ingram is a very, very talented wing. He's super long. Like you said, he's real skinny right now. But he can shoot. He can score. I really like what he brings. And I think unless he really cannot bulk up, like he really just is too small, I find it hard to see him not being an impact player in the NBA. But I just think Philly wants that generational guy if they can get him. Like, I think if they have the chance to, I mean, you're looking at right now, maybe Embiid is that guy. But of course, Embiid's the largest question mark, quite literally, you can find. They want more of a chance at that, so I think they take Simmons.
Yeah, and I think talking about generational players, that's kind of what you need right now in the Sixers organization, because they're coming off of such a like such a weird period, and with Hinkie's departure and Brian Colangelo coming in, you got to kind of have something really drastic, something really big, and you got to have that player-wise, not just leadership, because up to this point, over the past 3 years, all the Sixers have talked about, and all Sixers writers, reporters, etc., have really talked about is leadership and what Sam Hinkie's doing. You got to start to transition to seeing, you know, real players on the floor. And I think, like you said, Ben Simmons could definitely be a once-in-a-generation player. He could be that, you know, LeBron James of the next era.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certain Sixers hope so. I do think they'll take him. It's too bad they didn't end up getting another top five pick, which was possible. Of course, the Lakers fell out. I think Chris Dunn would have been perfect for this team.
Yeah, and they talked with Dunn at the combine, and based on what Dunn said, he was like really excited to possibly play in Philly, and they were reportedly very high on him as well. Which it stinks that it didn't play out, because I think having Simmons and him in the same draft, taking them both, they could have done wonders for this team. But that's not how it's happening, and it's okay, because the Sixers will still likely be a lottery team next year, and there's a lot of point guards next year, I think, that will be just as good as Chris Dunn. Not the same type of player, but that's the biggest thing the Sixers need left is a point guard. So hopefully they find that somewhere. I don't think it's going to be free agency. I think we have to wait to the draft.
Yeah, free agency this year. I mean, there's those guys that everyone talks about. I can't remember his name right now. The kid from L.A.? From the Lakers? What is his name?
Like the rookie this past year? Or?
No, not D'Angelo Russell. He was like a rookie the year before. Why can I not remember his name right now? Jordan Clarkson. That's it. Jordan Clarkson.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people, because he had a second round pick or something, I'm pretty sure he's a free agent this year. There's a couple younger guys like that. I don't know if Philly goes for him right away or necessarily gets them. I mean, they could make the pitch, though. I mean, that's really, if they get Simmons, that's like their only big hole left. Clearly, they've got a big guy taken care of. Simmons and Robert Covington at forward is pretty nice. And then you just look at, you need a point guard to slot in there. You could say, look, you can run the floor with all these talented guys. I think they'd more likely wait for the draft, though. Do you think they go for someone, a point guard at the bottom of the draft? There's some interesting ones that, where's their second pick right now?
They have 3 picks in the first round. They have the first pick, the 24th pick, and the 26th pick.
Okay. So I don't think Demetrius Jackson would fall that low to 24.
Yeah, I'm not convinced they're using those picks, to be honest with you. I feel like they could package them and trade up, or package them, trade for a pick next year. But I don't really see a situation where they necessarily use, definitely not both of those picks.
Yeah, because they already have a pretty crowded roster, if I remember right. They're not losing very many players.
Right. Well, I mean, they're going to cut some of their guys that were role players on I mean, if you're a role player on a Sixer team the past few years, there's going to be a lot of cuts. But no, they're not losing many players to free agency, no.
So what if they, here's a hypothetical. I think the Suns have 14-4. They have some pick like that.
They've got 4-13 from Washington.
Maybe they could go for that Suns pick, because there you're either getting Wade Baldwin, or I think Wade Baldwin will be there. He might not be, though. He that would be kind of a fall for him. Certainly Demetrius Jackson would be there. Otherwise, even if they just moved up a little bit, they could get Tyler Ulis. Is it Ulis or Ulis from Kentucky?
I don't know how to pronounce that.
Tyler. They could get the short guy from Kentucky.
Yeah.
There are some point guards in this draft I kind of like. I don't know if they'd want to go with Tyler from Kentucky. That sounds like someone called into the show. Tyler from Kentucky. I don't know if they want to go with him as the starter or the future, but they could pick him up too. This is a fun draft. Everyone says it sucks. I don't think it sucks that much.
The only thing that I hated about it, as far as the lottery, is that everything fell to form. Like, every team, it was exactly how it projected to go.
Oh, yeah, I hated that.
Because you always want that team to pop. Well, I mean, everybody's so hyped up on Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram, And they forget about all these other players. And I feel like this is how it is every year. There's these two guys, and nobody talks about anybody but them, and they forget that all these other players could have big seasons. And that's how it is this year, too. That's how it always is.
Well, yeah, last year it was Towns and Okafor. With Okafor, he was the consensus one all year, and then he fell to four. Or no, three, yeah. Not four, three. With Towns taking the top spot. And good job, Minnesota. They nailed that one. But
yeah, definitely.
The one thing I don't like about this draft is I feel like the weakest point is around like the 8 to 12 slot. Like I feel right, like there's some right where the Bucks are. Yeah, there's some good top talent. Like I like Buddy Hield. I don't trust Dragan Bender, but I would totally take him if I could. Like I feel like he could turn out really, really well. And then like the bottom of the lottery, mid-round guys, I really like some of those guys. But right in that 8 to 12 spot, I don't trust a lot of those players. I don't trust Scalabissier.
I don't know what to say about him, to be honest. The person I'm looking at for the Bucks that could possibly fall, because he's been falling rapidly. I've been checking up on draft boards, and for some reason, everybody has him falling, like, all the time. I don't know if you've looked at him at all. Jaylen Brown out of California. He was slated to go, like, three or four, and now he's down to, like, eight or nine. So if he could fall to that Bucks spot, I mean, that's a pretty solid pickup at 10.
That's the tough part, because like for me, and this is a whole conversation we can get into in a minute, I feel like you should always go with best player available in the draft. I think that's what the best teams do. I mean, instead of, because like if you draft for need, that's how you end up with Sam Bowie instead of Michael Jordan. Like you say, oh, we don't need a shooting guard, we won't take Michael Jordan. You don't want to be that team. And it's hard to talk crap about the Rockets, who got Hakeem number one, because come on, they still got Hakeem. It's not like they completely lost out. But the Trailblazers taking Bowie instead of Jordan, not a good move, not a good look. So I think you should always take the best player. And like if you have too many good players at one position, that's a good problem. Like you can trade one of them. It's not the worst thing. If you have one good player and a bunch of crappy players you took because you didn't want to overload one position, that's not as good of a problem. So I feel like you kind of have to take Jaylen Brown there. But at the same time, like, he super overlaps with Giannis and Chris Middleton and Jabari. Like, I don't know how you play all four of those guys.
I agree. And the Sixers have a lot of those issues, too, obviously, with their big men. But to me, best available versus best fit is, it doesn't always matter outside of the top five. Inside the top five, you got usually a lot of great players. And you should 100% of the time in the top five take best available. But outside that, I feel like there's a little more leeway. You can kind of weigh options. Players aren't that, you know, there's not as much of a gap of talent once you get past the fifth overall pick. So you can kind of, you know, make your own plan and draft for best fit. That's my view on that.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying, but like here's like one situation. I know a lot of mocks right now have Jacob Poeltl. I heard it's like Poodle, then I heard it's like Poeltl. Yeah, it's not Jacob, it's Yakub, by the way. It's totally Yakub.
Oh, really? I thought it was Jacob.
I think it's Yakub. See, people just guess. Because I've seen five different people have definitive pronunciations. I need to just pull up an interview with him and hear him say it. But I don't know what it is, but that I have a lot of them seeing that guy go to the Bucks, and I feel like that's one where if Jaylen Brown, Henry Ellenson, Jamal Murray, Chris Dunn, Buddy Hield, and the top three guys are gone, I feel like then Yakub is probably the best player left in the draft, because like none of those other guys are centers, like because those other teams don't really need centers, so he falls. I feel like he's better than these other guys you see around the area. Like I think Poeltl is better than Marquise Chris, Timothy Luwawu, Deonta Davis, Ska, Wade Baldwin. I really like Denzel Valentine. Poodle's probably better than him too. I think he only fell because he's a center. I feel like then the Bucks should say, look, we kind of need a center. It really depends. If we get rid of Greg Monroe and we don't re-sign Miles Plumlee, we definitely do. But even if we don't get rid of both of those guys, this is the best dude right here. Like, this dude is really good. I mean, he's a 7'1", 240-pound dude who averaged 17.9, 2 assists, and 1.6 blocks per game. That's talent. Like, he's going to be a good player. That's what I mean. That's one of those debates of, like, fit versus skill, and it might work out both ways depending on what the Bucks do. But like, I don't want to see Scal get drafted because he's a better fit for the team than Poeltl if they're both there, because I think Poodle's going to be the better player.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you too. What do you think about like Monroe and Plumlee?
See, it's tough.
Like their future.
I think Monroe, like, they have to trade him at this point. They didn't do an exit interview with him, which was weird because pretty much everybody else got one except for my man Johnny O'Brien, which I'm in tears about because they might not bring him back. I might not get over that. But like Monroe, it clearly didn't work. Like it didn't. And like I had Jeremy Wu on here from Sports Illustrated, and Jeremy said he thought they should give it another chance, that the coaching could figure it out. I see where he's coming from, but I'd really like to see him get moved because the team looks so much better with Plumlee and with Henson in there. I'd really like to see Henson get a shot to start. He deserves it. He's never gotten one. But he's a really good player. He's one of the best rim protectors in the NBA, according to the advanced numbers. He just hasn't gotten a start and prove it. Probably the second best shot blocker to Hassan Whiteside right now. But the hard part is like who trades for Greg Monroe? Like the Trailblazers, maybe. The Pelicans have interest, but they have this weird thing where the Saints GM is their president of basketball operations, Mickey Loomis. I don't know why.
And he's like, yeah, he's a goofball too.
He is, and like mostly
Well, that whole
he's not a basketball GM, so why does he have power there? I don't know.
two team thing in New Orleans too. I mean, the guy who owns, well, I think what happened is the guy who owns the Saints owns the Pelicans as
Yes.
well. So he was like, "Hey, you want another job and we'll double your salary?" And he's like,
Yeah.
"Yeah, of course. I already
Yeah.
know you, so I'm not going to interview anybody else."
Yeah. Well, they still have Dell Demps as their GM in at the Pelicans. But Tom Benson, who owns both teams, you're right, trusts Mickey Loomis, so he just said, "Here, you can have power here too." So no one's really sure who has what power or what deals can be made right now. Like for a while, it was said that Demps couldn't trade first round picks, like they wouldn't let him. That obviously hurts any Monroe deal that would happen, because New Orleans doesn't have the players to really make it work. I mean, Milwaukee could just dump him; they could do that. But you'd like to get something back. New
I
Orleans
don't
doesn't
think they
have
should,
much.
though.
You don't think they should dump him?
No. I mean, just after this season, they're kind of backtracking, you know? They're going from, they made the playoffs right last year
Yeah.
and lost in the first round. And now this year, I mean, their record fell quite a bit because they were exactly 500 last year, if I'm remembering
Yes,
right.
sir.
And this year they're 33 and 49. So they're kind of backtracking, and I feel like you need Monroe if you're going to start like rebuilding again. You need a guy like that to kind of move around. I mean, Giannis, you could do that with him too, probably, but he's just one of those pieces where I'd like to see him stay.
I feel like it's one of those where people from the outside in, like, are probably thinking more logically. Like, yeah, like they could still probably make it work. He's a good player, and Bucks people and Bucks fans are just like, no, he's got to go. Like, we're sick of watching this. Look, he was good last year. That's the thing. He wasn't bad. I just think, I mean, it could help if they have someone else besides MCW starting who can shoot. That could open the floor some more. I don't think you can keep both Monroe and Plumlee. I think it's too expensive. Giannis's extension won't kick in until next season, so he won't be on the books yet for that much. For the season after next season, I'm sorry. He still has his last rookie option for next year. But even that, I mean, Henson's 11 million next year. Monroe is like 15 million, so you're already at 26. And then you add Plumlee, who's probably going to be like 7 on the low end. That's 34, no, $33 million in centers. That's pretty
Yeah.
expensive, and you can't. I mean, they played Henson and Plumlee together. It kind of worked. It didn't work super well. You obviously can't play all three together. That lineup would be ridiculous. So I just don't know if it's worth giving that much money to those three guys when there are some free agents I kind of like, Dwight Howard not being one of them. Because it's just, again, it's like I'm not one of the Dwight haters. Like, there's a lot of people who hate Dwight Howard. I don't think he's a locker room cancer either. I mean, the guy played with Kobe Bryant and James Harden, and they had bad locker rooms, and it was his fault? Okay. I think he's misunderstood. I think he has good intentions at heart most of the time, but I think he's way too expensive for a team that should be in the playoffs but not contending next year. That being said, I do like him. I would like him in this locker room, actually. Like, he has the experience. He's been through so much. You know, he's been to finals with... Has he only been to one NBA finals with Orlando? I think
so.
Must
be, because I don't... After he left Orlando, nothing really went...
Yeah.
Nothing has really gone well for him.
Yeah, that's true. But he's been in the NBA finals. He's been on playoff runs with the Rockets, I think... We won't even talk about what he did in last. I think I just blocked it out of my mind because it went so badly for them. But he's been around the block. I think he could help this locker room. I just don't think it makes fiscal sense. Like, he's not going to sign a one-year deal. And you don't want to have to pay him, Jabari, and Giannis max deals over the next, you know, 4 years. Because that just gets prohibitively expensive by the time Jabari's deal would start.
And I feel like... If you're going to pay three players max deals, it shouldn't be that group of three players.
Exactly, exactly.
That's not going to win you a title.
No, no. It would be, you know, Giannis, Jabari, and then maybe player X. I mean, Chris Middleton already has one, kind of. I think it's just below his max. But just with the cap going up and how good he is, it just doesn't feel like one anymore. Like, right. that deal was perfect. Like, that was an unbeatably good deal. Get him right away. Don't let him test the market. $14 million a year for Chris Middleton right now looks like highway robbery, even if everyone forgets the H in his name.
The thing with Monroe and Plumlee, I don't like Plumlee, to be honest. I don't think he's a very good player. I mean,
he's a hustle guy.
Yeah, he's one of those that, I mean, you need, but not for the price he's going to be getting. You know, especially on the Bucks. I mean, Monroe was the top win share player last year for the Bucks. I just feel like he's important. Important than Plumlee. That's my point.
I agree with you. I think he is too. I feel like they could do without either of them. Here's the thing. Plumlee's advanced numbers last year were surprisingly good. He was like a top percentage post-up scorer and roll scorer. But I feel like any like rim running big guy would do that well in an offense with point Giannis, because like the center has to worry about Giannis so often. Like, the defenders have to worry about Giannis penetrating because he's obviously very good at it. So anyone who can play above the rim is going to get their alley-oops there. Like, it doesn't take DeAndre Jordan to get alley-oops from Giannis and Jabari and Chris Middleton. Like, those guys demand so much attention, especially, you know, the big two, Giannis and Jabari, and how they attack the rim. It's easy for a guy to get behind there. So while I don't think Plumlee's a bad player, I think he's good in the right situation, and Milwaukee is that situation. I don't think his production is impossible to replicate with somebody else. I mean, Poeltl's not that guy. Henson kind of might be that guy. I think Henson's definitely better defensively. His hook shot's unblockable. I don't know why he doesn't do it all the time. I'm not in love with either of them enough to where I think the Bucks need either or both of them. If they could get something from Monroe, even if, like, I don't know what the fourth piece would be for this trade, but three pieces would be the 10th pick, Monroe, and the Pelicans' 6th pick, like, just to move up. But obviously they'd need something else. Monroe's worth more to me than four draft slots in a draft that's good but not great. I mean, especially if Jalen, or not Jalen Brown, if Jamal Murray and Chris Dunn are both gone by 6, I think that pick becomes far less valuable.
I think they will both be gone by 6, too.
I could see Dunn getting to 8 in the right circumstances. I would not be surprised if Henry Ellenson crept up in this draft. I had him going 5 to Minnesota in my first mock, because I feel like he's one of those guys where almost every year there's just like some guy that a team falls in love with. And he should go like 4 to 6 slots later. But some team is just like, no, we really like this guy. We're taking him right now.
Yeah. The thing is with, I'm just so leery on all draft players, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram.
You should be.
But it's like, I don't trust any of them. Like you said, you don't trust any like 8 to 12. I never trust any draft players. Like, I'm awful at predictions. I couldn't look at players and tell you they're going to have a big season. I thought Ja was going to struggle, to be honest, but he came in first game of the year, dropped like 18 points, and he never looked back. And you got, I mean, this rookie class was a rare one,
Yeah.
because you had Kristaps was huge, Karl-Anthony Towns was huge, and Jaleel had an injury at the end of the season, but had a great year. It was on the Sixers, and he was the only offensive force, so that helped him, but still had a big year. But I definitely wouldn't have predicted all of those guys having huge seasons.
Yeah, it was. It's, I've been saying this too. It's an unusual class, mostly to defend Jabari Parker, who it wasn't really, but it was essentially his rookie year. He played 25 games his first season before he tore his ACL, and like I wrote this piece, like Jabari Parker is hurting the Bucks defense, and that's okay. Like he's basically a rookie. Like young players generally suck. Like that's how it goes. Like they're not ready for the NBA yet, especially a one and done guy like Jabari who just tore his ACL. Like Karl-Anthony Towns was like throwing off everyone's perception because somehow he came into the NBA good at everything. Like it's super weird for a center to be a good defender, a good post scorer, and also be able to shoot. You know, he's a pretty good passer, he's a team guy. He's like the perfect rookie. He had one of the best rookie seasons as a big guy since the Admiral. So you look at Towns and I mean you look at Towns and you can't say like this is how your rookie should look. Because they almost never do. Like D'Angelo Russell, to me, outside of the Spygate scenario or whatever. But Russell, to me, had a pretty average rookie season. Like, I didn't look at his stats and say he's garbage forever. Like, he could still end up being pretty good. Like, most rookies come in playing more like he did than Towns did, even at the top of the draft.
Well, even as far as the Spygate thing, like that was such a rookie move.
Yeah, it
He
was a rookie
is
move.
the rookie of this draft. Like he was the only one in that like top five that had a rookie season. He made mistakes. Well, Ja made mistakes too.
Yeah.
But Russell made a big mistake, hurt his relationship with his teammates, and he was, I mean, good on the floor, but kind of average, kind of just a good rookie.
Yeah. He had some flashy. He had a big game, I think, like a big scoring game at one point later in the season. And I mean, look, the one thing about that is like three of those guys will be his teammates going forward. Like, really, it doesn't matter what Swaggy P thinks of D'Angelo Russell. Like, Swaggy P is not the Lakers' future. It's going to be Julius Randle, D'Angelo Russell, who have, probably Brandon Ingram, you know, Roy Hibbert's gone, doesn't matter. Jordan Clarkson might leave. Like, there's not many people there. I mean, Larry Nance Jr. is a nice player, too. I forgot about him. But it's just like, with Kobe gone, I mean, I'm actually excited to see that team grow going forward. Like, I think they're going to be pretty good fairly soon. Once they, without Kobe there, they got intriguing young guys. I think they will snag a free agent pretty soon.
I mean, it's LA. They're gonna get
Yeah.
a free agent. And people want to play in LA. Regardless of, like, I've seen some writers bring up recently that location does not matter as much as we think it does. And that's probably true. People will probably go to more money, where the money is, before location, but it's LA. It's the Lakers. There's so much basketball history there. And it's also just like one of the most beautiful places in the country.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to live there, not just basketball players.
Yeah, I don't think it matters as much as it used to, like 10 or 20 years ago. The thing about it, which is interesting, is this free agency. It's like, even the money, I mean, aside from bird rights, which obviously the team a player was with can offer him more, even the money's starting to not be as much of a factor just because everyone has it. Like, it's not like, you know, the Yankees who can just give some guy you've never heard of from a different country a stupid deal. Like, there's a cap and you can go over it, but like the max deals are the same. So you're really going to see probably more than ever players sitting down and saying, what's the best situation for me? Which is how Monroe was a Buck last year and maybe next year is him saying, well, you know, okay, sponsorships, maybe I make more in LA or New York. But I want to go with the Bucks because that's he thought, and the Bucks thought it was a better fit. So I think you're going to see more of that going forward. Just, I mean, location still matters. Miami will probably get someone. If Chris Bosh ends up not playing, his contract could end up being off the books. LA will probably get someone. The Knicks are probably still looking, I'd guess, because they're not paying too many players besides Melo. But like you'll see teams like Portland will probably get someone. Like players will want to play in Portland. Boston will probably get someone because you know they want someone. I mean, Boston, I guess, has history and size anyway, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna, it, like you said, it doesn't matter as much anymore. I mean, OKC, just because
Yeah.
of how their franchise started with Kevin Durant. I mean, Oklahoma City isn't the greatest part of the country. Like, it's not somewhere that everybody's like, man, I want to go live and play basketball in OKC. Stephen A. Smith always complains when there's a 7-game series in OKC because he has to, like, take a connecting flight to OKC. But, I mean, just because of what's how that franchise started, I mean, I feel like people are going to want to go to OKC too.
Yeah, I mean the cap will be tricky there, but I'm sure they can
Not
figure
now.
out.
Like, I'm saying, like,
Yeah.
down the line,
Yeah,
once
yeah,
this
yeah.
era with the Thunder is over. But.
I'm glad you made my segue for me. Let's talk about OKC. They are up 3-1 over the Golden State Warriors heading into game 5 in Oakland. Oklahoma City wins like they did in game 1 in Oakland. They're going to the NBA Finals for the first time since 2012. When they lost to the Heat, I think it was 2012, maybe 2011.
I think it might be 2011 because.
I think 2012 the Heat won, 2013 the Heat won, 2014 the Spurs won, 2015 the Warriors won. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah, 2011.
2011 finals, they lost that to the Heat in I don't remember how many games. They lost to LeBron. They'll be playing LeBron again, different team. But first they have to take care of the Warriors. How are you shocked by this or are you just a little surprised by this?
My dad always asks me because he likes watching basketball, but he's not the most dedicated basketball fan. So he always asks me, and he knows the Warriors are like unbeatable. He said, "Do you think the Thunder have a shot?" And I said, "You know what? I'm gonna say yeah, but they don't." And then, because I felt like maybe if things went well for them, they could do it. Looking at their roster, they could you compare those rosters, and it's obvious they could do it. But just because you know what Golden State has been doing all year, it's like, no, there's no way they're going to do it. But Golden State's luck, I don't know if it's luck or they're just getting tired or what, but it's running out. Whatever it is. Michael Jordan's secret stuff, is that what it is? Did they run out of it?
The thing about it for me is, you know, Golden State was super effing good when a team headlined by Russell Wilson and Kevin Durant is beating them, and everyone's like, "No way!" Like, we didn't even think that was possible. Like, those are the best two of the best five players in the NBA on the same team, and they're winning a series, and everyone is stunned. That's how you know. And it was the same with the Spurs. That's how you know the Spurs and Warriors were hella good this year. When a team that has both Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, not to mention Steven Adams, Enes Kanter, Serge Ibaka, and all these other guys, is winning, and it's just like this unbelievable, shocking thing. I was so disappointed because I called Spurs in 7 in round 1. No, round 2. They obviously beat the Mavs in 4. But I said they would win in 7 against the Spurs, and they won in 6. And I was like, okay, I'm a good little analyst. I'm hitting it. But I think Golden State's got it. Warriors in 5. The Warriors might lose in 5. I was wrong on the number there. I didn't think the Thunder had it in them to play this well for this many games. Billy Donovan, surprisingly good coach. I didn't think that would happen either. I mean, they're just it was the same way the Bucks beat the Warriors, and I know Adam McGee at the site wrote about this at Behind the Buck Pass, is that, you know, they're just super long, and it gives the Warriors a lot of problems trying to get open 3-point shots because, like, everyone on the Thunders is long. I mean, Russell Westbrook's a relentless defender. He's relentless at everything. Like, Russell Westbrook's probably a relentless chess player. Andre Robertson is like 6'6", but his arms are like 9'4", or some ridiculous number. Like, his wingspan is like the entire court. Kevin Durant is obviously 7 feet tall, super big. I've seen him make a couple great plays in passing lanes. He just took the ball from Draymond Green at one point. Like, Draymond Green could not look more defeated in the series. Like, he tried to pass it over him, and Kevin Durant just like grabbed it like he was handing the ball to him. Draymond Green needs to sit down for a game or something. They should have just suspended him. It would have been better for him. And then, you know,
Yeah, well,
oh, I
he
was just gonna.
definitely should have got suspended.
Yeah, he should have gotten suspended. But it's like Kevin Durant said, he's too good to suspend him, which is stupid. Oh, and obviously Serge Ibaka and Steven Adams are both good defenders too and big guys. So, I mean, that's how the Bucks beat them in Milwaukee back in, I think it was December. Is like you just disrupt them and they're passing. Don't let them get open shots. I mean, really, the Warriors, it's like if Curry and Klay aren't getting off, it's going to be hard for them to win games in a conference finals. Like, Iguodala is good, but he's not best player on a team going to the finals good.
That's the thing about the Warriors is they're deep, but if your two best players aren't at their best, your depth does not matter because you can be deep, but those players that you have to create that depth are not as skilled as what the Thunder have. And I love that about the playoffs, that a lot of people like weren't really betting on guys like Steven Adams and Bismack Biyombo.
Yeah.
And these guys just explode in the playoffs. And it's happens every year, it seems like. There's a few guys that really have their time to shine in the playoffs. And it's amazing. I love it.
I do, too. I mean, Biyombo is... I love watching. I just love saying Biyombo.
My mom gets mad because he smiles too much.
He really is. He's... I don't want to say 2.0, but he's like new Dikembe. He got the finger wave from him. He smiles a lot. I like Biyombo a lot. Yeah, he's a free agent. He's going to make stupid money this offseason for that smile and that finger wave. Yeah, it's... And I love Steven Adams. I mean, he's the best. I would have fought Draymond
Green.
He's
funny. He's hilarious.
You have to be. Like, if he wasn't a good-natured guy, he would have murdered Draymond Green by now.
Absolutely. Who? I mean,
I liked Draymond Green. I have a hard time liking him anymore. I don't like kids. I don't like nut shots. Like, that's why I don't like Chris Paul, because he's a nut puncher.
I've never liked Draymond. There's just something about him. I always knew. I always knew he was a nut kicker.
I didn't see. I just thought he was a trash talker, and I love trash talkers. And I was like, okay, he's a trash talker. I can respect
but
that.
He's,
he moved into the realm of nut kicking. I can't respect that anymore.
He's not the KG trash talker. Like, KG doesn't kick nuts. He just trash talks.
He's not. He's not Jordan.
Right. Yeah. Have you heard the Jordan KG story? The first time Garnett.
Yeah, that's why KG is crazy, is because he went up to Jordan as a fan,
yeah,
and Jordan just said something super savage.
And then KG just says that to, like, everybody who like, says, like, man, I love watching you. And he's just like, all right, I do not care. Who are you?
I hope someone – I wish KG would do that to Towns. Imagine Savage Towns. I don't think it would work.
Towns is too nice.
Is he Canadian?
I don't think so. Are you thinking of Wiggins?
I know Wiggins is, but Towns just feels like he should be with how nice he is.
No, because I'm pretty sure Towns grew up near Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
Because I remember seeing a video a little bit a while back. He actually, his senior year in high school, went to a Sixers game to interview Kevin Durant for his high school broadcast. So I'm pretty sure he lives near Philly.
Man.
Or lived near.
You guys can do a whole Wizards thing where you try in vain to steal a star player. KD to DC is dead.
It was always dead.
I know. Don't tell Ben Mahitch, but it's been dead since day one. They booed him in Washington. Like, it was over as soon as that happened.
I mean, I just don't understand the infatuation with hometown players.
One guy did it after leaving. Like, but LeBron, like, left and went back. It's not like LeBron was drafted by the Heat and then went to Cleveland. Like, he was drafted by Cleveland and then left and then went back.
And it still wasn't the right choice when he went back. He just did that because I think the guilt was just, like, eating him up.
Yeah, I mean, you say, like, oh, obviously Cavs are better than Miami now, but, like, LeBron could have gotten some of these guys to Miami, too.
If he stayed in Miami, well... I mean, the butterfly effect. A lot of things changed in Miami because of his departure. But the guys that Miami found in, like, trying to find themselves after LeBron, it's kind of incredible, some of the players they found.
Yeah.
Justice Winslow falling to them. Yeah, that was...
I will say, I'm glad Stanley
Johnson... Josh Richardson, too.
Josh Richardson, yeah. He's good for a second rounder. Yeah, like 41. 41, I think. I will say I'm still on Team Stanley Johnson. I know a lot of people made fun of the Pistons for taking Stanley Johnson with Justin Winslow there. I like Stanley Johnson.
I mean, Winslow's good.
I feel like if their names were reversed, people would like Stanley Johnson more. Like, Justice Winslow is just a dope name. Whereas Stanley Johnson sounds like a computer-generated small forward who goes 15th overall in the 2019 NBA draft.
those 2K names.
Yeah, those 2K names. I love when they just take someone else's last name who's really famous.
I like when they do the like a current player but junior.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
George put out a tweet the other day. I think it was he was posting his options. I think it was Pau Gasol Jr.
Yeah, and what was the other one was funny. Oh, Dick Gaines.
Yeah.
Pau Gasol Jr. and Dick, that's the hardest choice I've ever had to face in life. That's way harder than Simmons v. Ingram.
I think this year's draft, Gary Payton's
Gary
son
Payton,
is it,
he's not,
right?
I think he's Gary Payton 2. He's not Gary Payton Jr., I think. But yeah, he is a second
So,
round.
yeah,
So
man.
either he has a kid or he just didn't want to be a junior. So he went with 2 illegitimately.
Maybe,
Fun
perhaps. I don't know.
fact, I should be a junior.
I should also be, I should actually be a fifth.
Really?
Yeah.
You have an unoriginal line of namers in your family.
Well,
Like, let's just go with Josh Wilson again. It's a good one. It's been a good one so far. Let's just try it again.
my dad's name isn't Josh. It was like an audible at the last minute.
Oh,
I
okay.
was supposed to be Charlie.
Oh, so oh, you were meant to be a junior, but you're or a fifth, but you're not.
Right, yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I'm actually a junior, like my full name, which I'm not giving out on this podcast. Like,
You should have totally went with that. Like with your writing career.
but is the
Man, missed
junior?
out. Junior's so cool.
It's
Well, actually.
cool, but like, look, it'll change when slash. I don't know if I'm gonna name my son the third. I don't think I'm going to, because I don't even go with that name. So why would I go? I don't know if I should go back to that name. It's an interesting thing I've thought of several times, like 4 times probably, which is not that many times.
I tried to brand myself when I was just getting started as, well, sort of still do, as JD.
Yeah.
Because that's what my dad calls me. Like, that's what my family calls me a lot of the time. And it was actually partially me trying to avoid all my high school friends and not let them know that I had, like, another life on the
Oh.
internet that they eventually found out about.
See, I want them to know because I want those hashtag views. I'm like, hey, come read my stuff. It's good. Leave a comment. They don't.
That's not how I started. I'm like that now. I want people to read my stuff, but
Yeah. Well, when you first start, you're nervous. You're like, am
it's
I
very
stupid?
nerve-wracking.
I like what one of my friends is an English major, and this is like completely off topic, but it's time out with Ty. This is what happens. One of my friends is an English major, and I call him Bromigo, so he'll just be known as that. Like, you can't identify him. It's Bromigo. And he always tells me, he's like, I write a lot, but like, I could not just publish stuff like under my name like that. Like, I'd be so nervous. And I hadn't thought about it for a long time until he said it. But that's totally what I was like for like my first couple articles. I was like, what if I don't even know what I'm talking about? And I only find out when some stranger on the internet corrects me. And what you
And
find out
sometimes you
is
don't.
everyone on the internet corrects you, even if you're right.
Absolutely. It's so frustrating. And the best advice I have for anybody like trying to get into sports writing, podcasting, anything like that, if you have an opinion, just stand by it. Even if you decide it's wrong, just stand by it. Nobody, like, it's your opinions. Like, people shouldn't be able to be like, that's not right. Like, you're totally wrong. All the information you used to write this 600 word article is just wrong. All the effort you put in is just wrong. Like, no, if you have an opinion, it's your opinion.
Yeah, I think that's true to a certain extent. I think there's some people who just make up opinions, like just to get
Absolutely.
people talk.
Like
I don't think that's good.
Skip Bayless.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. I don't know if I want to comment specifically, but I would say kinda yeah. Just in that, like according to Skip and Stephen A, they just happen to disagree on everything. I find that a little suspect. Like they've talked a lot of times now. And like Adam McGee and I just I in every podcast I end up naming this guy. But we disagree on a lot. But we agree on a fair amount of things too, because we talk about so many different things. I think it's unlikely to disagree with someone on every topic ever. But
With a show like First Take, you kind of have to create a
yeah, I
dynamic.
mean if they agreed
That's what it
it'd be
is.
a short, boring show. And look, that's what they do and they're good at what they do. It's like the most talked about show ever. I mean it's kind of what they
it
want to
works.
do.
It's
what they want to do to have people say like, oh, like Stephen A. and Skip, because they get talked about, they get known. And I mean, most of the stuff they say rings is off base, but they have large soundboards. The thing about it for me is I feel like it's like you should have integrity, but you should also not be afraid to say things that like question conventional wisdom a little bit. Like Ellison, I was so mad because I was going to be this maverick who had Ellison going at 5. Because that's super high for Henry Ellison. But I was like, you know what? Like, I could see the Timberwolves taking him there. And I post my mock draft and I click on Andrew Sharp's to see what he had put out. And it was like released the same day, like 4 hours before I posted mine. But I didn't check until, because I was just working on it all day. And I was actually, I recorded the network podcast that day too. So I was super busy. So I checked Sharp's mock draft and he has Ellinson at 5. I'm like, damn it. Like I thought that was going to be like my thing. Like I'm the Ellinson at 5 guy. Not only was I not the only one, I wasn't the first one to say that. So it's like that. Like sometimes like what seems like an unconventional thing will end up being like smart. So like you should say it, even if you think it's weird, if you legitimately think that what you're saying makes sense, like, go ahead and say it. Like, no one keeps score unless you're like, oh, for whatever. Get it right at least once.
Yeah, if you have information to back up what you're saying and you truly think it's a good thing, like it's a correct opinion, put it out there. I put out earlier in the season, I was like, put out an article that Embiid, Noel, and Okafor probably won't be able to play together. And somebody, lots of people commented actually, like, no, you can play them all. There's enough minutes divide in the front court. You can do like a hockey rotation. That was one of the things somebody said. You can rotate them like a hockey line. And I was like, no, I don't think so. I think you're going to have issues down the road with these players fitting. And now everybody thinks they're not going to fit and they're not going to. So
it's funny what people blow back to. Because like what you're saying sounds so obvious. Like, yeah, 3 centers who are all supposed to be good is too many. Like,
yeah.
That should be an obvious thing. But people on the internet, man.
Sports are also a very, very irrational thing.
Yeah.
So if you're writing about sports, that's another factor.
Yeah.
Writing
about other stuff is weird. Like I've written about music. I know you're starting a music podcast I wanted to ask you about. But like I've written about music and it's so weird because I'm so used to having evidence. Like here are the stats. Here is the quote. Here is, you know, the whatever. Like something to sort of back up what I'm saying or correlate it. You write about music or you talk about it and there's no like facts. I mean, you could look at record sales, but like that's not indicative of quality, just popularity. So it's weird to talk about music.
Anything.
Yeah, like it's obviously just opinion. Like you can't justify any sort of a fact except that Drake's Views is the best album if you can't sleep. Like it's like it'll knock you out no matter what. That's a fact. But otherwise it's all opinion.
Well, it's like with music it's like this album is good because when I listen to it, I feel happy.
Yeah.
Or when I listen to it, I identify with it. It's a very personal thing.
Yeah.
With music. And what's nice, what's kind of beautiful about it, though, is it's a personal thing that you can connect with large crowds of people because lots of people like the same music. So you can make a connection with people through music. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Music is also irrational. Sports and music are like two of my biggest interests.
Yeah.
And they're both very irrational, bizarre things.
They don't make sense. Tell me about the podcast. Is it My Beautiful Dark Twisted Podcast? Is that the name?
Yes, that's the
name. I like that name. Tell me about it.
I like writing sports and obviously I'm going to keep doing that, keep podcasting with sports, but I just want to expand, you know? I just want to talk about hip hop. I'm a huge hip hop fan. Hip hop culture is like, it's so interesting to me and it's interesting to a lot of people. So I just want to talk about it and I want to have different types of people on to talk about what they think about hip hop culture. I've listened to I subscribe to Apple Music. So I have Beats One Radio and Zane Lowe is one of the hosts on there. And he interviews a lot of artists and gets a lot out of them. And the things he says about music are really interesting. So he's kind of like an inspiration for the podcast. Like, I don't want to be Zane Lowe. I want to be myself. But
yeah,
the way he runs his show and the way he talks to people, and it's great. And it's also been helpful been kind of inspired that there's been a lot of good hip hop music put out so far this year.
Yeah, Color in the
And bad
Book.
hip hop music.
Yeah.
Coloring Book is it's really good. It's also really the same as everything else Chance has
Yeah,
ever
it's
put
the
out.
most Chance the Rapper album you could like. Same Drugs is like the most Chance the Rappery song I could even comprehend.
Yeah, there's a couple songs in there, so No Problem and Mixtape, they kind of sound new and
Yeah,
different.
Mixtape definitely.
Mixtape is a good song. I like that song.
Yeah,
But
me too.
it's not Chance. It's not the typical Chance. If
Yeah,
that's the new Chance, I like it.
whereas Same Drugs is like super acid rap.
Yeah. And that's okay. I mean, that's who Chance is.
Yeah.
I feel like with every Chance album, we've just gotten more trumpets. That's pretty much been
More
the like
trumpets.
the growth of Chance. But he also worked a lot on The Life of Pablo.
Yeah.
And well, not a lot. He worked on two songs, as far as I know. But they're two of the best songs on the album. He worked on Ultralight Beam, the first song, and then Waves, which was the one with Chris Brown. And he actually like he was on Beats One with Zane Lowe, who I mentioned earlier. And he showed Zane the original version of Waves. And it was basically Chance and a choir. And it was great. Like, I don't know why Kanye didn't keep it.
Sometimes, like those questions come up a lot. Like, I hate the album version of Pop Style.
Yeah,
Where he took
because
out
it's so much
Kanye's
better with
verse.
Kanye and Jay-Z.
Yeah, like why would you take out Watch the Throne for, or The Throne now, I guess it is, for just more Drake? I mean, I like Drake, but like that you had two like great verses. Well, I don't know if great, but you had two good verses from very good rappers, and he's just like, nah, I don't wanna.
And that's okay though, because it's his project. That's kind of what's cool too, is the
Yeah.
creative process that goes into these albums. With Kanye, it was super cool because he put out the album on Tidal. There are some issues with it, kind of. He put out a polished version on Tidal, and then he put out a completed version on Spotify and Apple Music, and then changed it on Tidal as well. We really got to see like the whole creative process of the album. And I don't think that's really happened before.
That was super interesting. Like there was updates made to it after it went out. Like it like
I'm
you're
a fixed
definitely
wolf.
right. Yeah, I'm gonna fix wolves. Like it was so weird. It was like I've never seen that happen. Like well, I mean like 10, 15 years ago even you couldn't like what are you gonna do? Like, hey, send all those CDs back. I gotta fix wolves. Like imagine if
Yeah.
Nas is like, yeah, something's wrong with New York State of Mind, so I need all of these copies back. Just mail them all back to me. I'm gonna fix them. I'm gonna mail them back. Don't worry about it. Like you couldn't do it. Like, the internet makes these weird things like this possible.
And is that it, you kind of have to decide. Some people like it, some people don't like it. I can see why you wouldn't like it because artists get to put out unfinished music and be like, "Oh, I messed up. Let me fix it." But at the same time, we get like an inside look at the creative process at people. He really listened to people on the whole Wolves thing. People were like, "Dude, your verse on Wolves is kind of trash. Sia and Vic Mensa's verses were what made that song." And he was like, "You're right. I'll put them back in." So it's kind
It
of cool in that sense.
is. Before we get going here kind of shortly, first quick note, I very much want to be on your new podcast, just so you know. Other thing, the Cavs are probably going to the finals. Who do you have? And let's just assume it's Thunder Cavs. I think that's definitely where the winds are blowing right now. Bar a ridiculous, very Golden State-esque comeback from Golden State, which is not impossible. And, you know, the Raptors might get defibrillated again and come back to life again in this postseason when it looked like they've been dead about five different times. But logic leans that it will be Cavaliers Thunder, so we'll go with that for now. Who wins that NBA Finals? And just how great is it to watch KD versus LeBron and all this?
I think Thunder. And really with either of those teams, if it's Thunder Cavs, I'm okay with either team winning because both of those teams have been on a really wild journey the past 5 years or so. And they both deserve a finals for what they've gone through the past several years. So I'm okay with either team, but I think the Thunder. But I do also think that there's a very legitimate chance that that's not the finals. I don't know if Golden State can pull off the deficit they're in right now, but if anybody can, if any team ever could,
Yeah.
it's definitely Golden State.
Well, I mean, we saw
The
the
this
same
Golden State team.
situation was a Houston Clippers last year. I think
Right.
Clippers were up 3-1, I think, and they ended up losing that series. But the Thunder look far better now than the Clippers did last year. I really don't
Definitely.
know who would win that finals, by the way.
It would be, I hope that goes 7 games because it should.
Yeah.
There, I don't know, it's interesting
I
for
really
sure.
hope everyone stays healthy, man. That
Yeah,
could be one of the best finals ever.
that's been the bummer. I mean, the Cavs were awfully unhealthy last year.
Yeah.
Now that we see them healthy, people are like, oh, the Cavs are actually not that big of a bummer.
No, they're not even close. I mean, it's people always forget just how even I forget just how good LeBron is sometimes. I know I saw Kelly Scaletta on Twitter had posted like a bar graph of like SRS determines how hard your schedule is. And he looked at all of them in the 4-round playoff era. And if the Thunder go to the finals and face the Cavs, they'll have like the hardest playoff run since like the 80s, like since they started going to 4 rounds, according to SRS. Because I mean,
The Cavs will have the hardest or
no,
the
the
Thunder?
Thunder, because
Oh, okay.
the Mavericks sucked, but then you look at the 67-win Spurs team, the 73-win Warriors team, and I forget how good the Cavs. I forget how many wins the Cavs had, but they're obviously very, very good too.
Well, yeah, they're the best team in the East. So, I
Yeah,
mean,
by
that's pretty
far.
much as hard as it gets this year.
Yeah, I mean they were seen as the consensus fourth best team in the NBA, and they would have to beat the three best to win the title. That's earning it.
Yeah, it definitely is.
I can't wait to watch it and to listen to more rap music and to listen to your new podcast. It's going to be an exciting summer. It's going to be really cool.
It's totally the summer of podcasts. I'll tell you
It
that.
is.
I'm on pace this week to do a podcast every other day.
That's awesome. I'm not on that level yet. I might have a podcast thing coming out soon, an announcement, a sort of thing. I'm not going to say anymore. It's going to be a mystery for now. Don't worry about it yet.
Podcast, I mean, you have to do that. You have to throw out your teaser like a day before
This
and be
is
like,
it's more than a day.
okay,
This is
well,
going to be
however long before.
I got stuff in the works.
I did that yesterday. I said, I heard a rumor, I tweeted, I heard a rumor. I'm going on one of my favorite podcasts tomorrow. Stay tuned to see if it's true.
Oh, I didn't see that. I'm glad
Guess
I didn't
what?
retweet it.
It's true.
I'm glad I didn't retweet it because it would have given it away. It's gonna
Yes.
we're gonna drop this real mysterious. It's gonna be like Beyonce's album. By the way, the reunion you've all been waiting for.
I'll
Ty Wendis,
definitely
Josh
have to have
Wilson.
you on my Beautiful Dark Twisted podcast. I feel like that's too long of a name now that I just said it like out loud for the second time ever.
I mean, they probably told Kanye it was too long of an album name, but I think it worked out for him. So I think you already have the Twitter and everything.
I'm not on that level though.
I mean, you just
I'm
I
not on
mean,
that Yeezy level.
people told Kanye he wasn't on that level either. He just knew he was.
That's true. That
I would go for it. I like the
Well,
name.
I mean it's done. It's
Yeah, it's done
I've
though.
already done the Photoshop. I've already put my head on
Yeah, I like
Kanye's
that.
face.
I like that.
I just had an epiphany with that. I was like, man.
I should put my head on Kanye's head. You should do a
Definitely.
Photoshop of everyone where you put your head on Kanye's head and then the guest head on Kim's head from the Bound 2 video.
Oh, man.
That's way too much work for every podcast, but that would be freaking hilarious. Enough epiphanies for now. Do you have any plugs you want to make? We already talked about the podcast.
My Twitter is at JD Sports Blog. That's about where you'll find everything. So
Yeah. Check out
there's
the
that.
SixerSense.com too.
Absolutely. There's a lot of, I mean, more than just me. I don't want to talk about just me, but everybody over there. We have a lot of staff writers who are, I mean, they put out some outstanding stuff. And the whole Sixers fandom is just a really smart and dedicated group. And we have several of those writers who fall under those adjectives.
Absolutely. I mean, you know it's a good site when you lose Georgie the Greek and it's still just going super strong.
That was tough.
That's a hell of a site though, but you
I mean,
lasted.
good for George, but like it was tough. And George
Yeah.
and I were good friends, so
We're.
well, we are.
It's
But like
over. It's no, Section 216, you're done. Right,
I don't live in Philly anymore, so it's
right.
like
No, I know what you're saying. I should do my plugs. Follow me on Twitter at Ty Windisch, T-I Windisch, W-I-N-D-I-C-H. It sucks when you have to spell both of your names. Like, neither one of those are gimmies if you just hear them said. So that's one of the many struggles I deal with on a daily basis. Check out the site, BehindTheBuckPass.com, on Twitter at BehindTheBucks. We do a lot of Buck stuff. We have some great writers, too. Adam McGee works his ass off. Writes pretty much twice a day now, which is, like, a lot. Like, that's crazy to me. So shouts out Adam for the work ethic. Everybody else is contributing to the site. Too many good staff writers to name drop them all. I don't want to just do one because then, like, the others could have, like, resentment. Don't do that, guys. You're all great. This is the first podcast I've done on coffee. I drank 2 cups of coffee while we're doing it. You can tell. The other one is Joey Burbs does the intro and outro music to this podcast. SoundCloud.com/Joey Burbs. JoeyBurbs.com. He's still working on the new music. It's going to be really good because it's taking this long. I give him crap about it every day. It's coming, though. I've heard the songs. They're really good. I'm excited for everyone else to hear them. Maybe a music video in the works, too. Not going to say any more. That's his tease to make. Josh, thank you for coming on and dealing with this off-the-rails outro.
Thank you for having me and putting me on the shoulders of your podcast. That has grown to amounts that I don't know if you expected it, but I don't think you ever expect it when something blows up like that.
No, not yet. We're not done making power moves, though. There's more to come. Stay tuned.
Never should be done.
No. Thanks again, Josh, and thanks everybody for listening.